to hear the Word of God. I want to talk today about a new identity, that God gives to each of us. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us the opportunity to be like you, that you want us to reflect your presence, your glory, your mercy, your grace in everything that we do, everything that we say. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint me to speak the words that you have given to me and that you will anoint our hearts and our minds to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. A new identity. Some people think that when they say a sinner's prayer, that everything is just automatically changed and they do not need to lay aside any works of the flesh. Everything is all okay. But it doesn't work like that. It's true that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But let us not overlook the verse that comes before that verse. Verse 15 says in 2 Corinthians, it says, "And he, Jesus, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." There's an effort on our parts to deny ourselves and to live for Jesus. He paid a great price for our redemption. My husband used to say, he said, when Jesus calls a man, he calls him to come and die. We sing the song, "Come and Dine," the master calls, and he said, I think we should say, "Come and die." Many people think that when they come to Jesus that everything's going to be rosy, no more bumps in the road. That isn't what it says, but he will be with us through all of that. Jesus said in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 24 through 26, he said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That means that when you are offended, put it aside. Don't get your feelings hurt. Deny yourself. And he said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you try to save your life, you're going to lose the very thing you're trying to save. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, by clinging to the things that we desire for our lives, we can miss the mark. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There are a lot of people that sell short. They sell their souls for pleasure, for things of the world, and we think of those that are in the world who've never accepted Christ. But I remember a man that was a convert in the church when years ago he came to the Lord, not been a Christian, and he gave his life to Christ. And he was on a disability, an emotional, psychological disability. And he said after he'd been a Christian for a while, he said to my husband, he said, I really want to be healed. I don't want to be this. And so my husband said, absolutely. God came to bring healing and restoration. And he prayed for him. And he said, the Lord healed him. He was changed. And then he came back to my husband a week or two later. And he said, Pastor, I can't do this. He said, do you realize what I will lose? If I lose my disability, I have a great, quite a bit of money coming in. He said, I don't want this. Well, he went back and the sickness came back on him. And I don't have a good story for the ending. Not too long after that, a couple of months, my husband got a call and he said, he's dying, come, he's dying. And he had actually taken his own life because he sold out for what he thought the things of the world could offer to him. God has something better for us than that which we look at and say, I must have that. We sometimes think that a Christian life will be filled with blessings, and they are filled with blessings. We have many blessings. God blesses us every day and provides for us, and we will never know all the blessings that He has established and given to us until one day in eternity. And you've seen the little poem about the footprints. The man says, why was it that there were no footprints there? You were holding my hand until we came to this spot, and there was only one set of prints. And the Lord said, that's when I had to carry you. I'm telling you, the Lord carries us through some very difficult times sometimes when we think we are forsaken, but we are not. And so this is a life of sacrifice, a life of self-denial, a life of dying to the old man. It is not a life of everything going the way that we want it to go. It's a life that brings heartache sometimes. Sometimes I've heard people say, I don't understand. Why is it that God would do this to me? Whenever I had everything going for me, perhaps it's a child, and I know that we can identify with that. One that is precious, never has... Why would you take this baby, this child? God, why did you do this to me? We don't understand, but God has a perfect plan and purpose, and He knows exactly what He's doing. I remember that years ago, I talk about lots of years ago because I have a lot of years to talk about. But even before we were married, my husband was offered a very lucrative position with the government because he could speak several foreign languages fluently, and he liked to study languages. They came easily for him, not me, but for him. And he was offered this position, and he turned it down. He said no. He said, I want to follow God's call on my life is for ministry. He said, I don't want to lay up earthly treasures. God will supply our needs. And at that time, I thought, you know, man, why is he doing this? You know, we were not yet married, and he turned this down. He said, no, I'm going into ministry. And I said, okay, God, I'll go with him. And I think about that song that I wish I could sing it, but I'm not going to try to do that. It says, I lost it all to find everything. Little chorus, it says, I lost it all to find everything. I died a pauper. This world, it doesn't make you rich. You're a pauper in this world. With all of the wealth that you have, you're still a pauper. He says, I died to that life to become a king. We're kings and priests in the kingdom of God. And when I learned how to lose, I learned how to win. I lost it all to find everything. God gives us a life that is so much greater, so much more blessed than we could ever have without Him. And then there's a song that tells us, what do we need to do to find this life? How do we surrender? How is it that we come to that place that we can surrender? And I think of the song that says, kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. He says, listen to His voice. Leave with Him your cares and begin life anew. And then it goes on to say, give your idols up. There are things when we come to Jesus, and even after we've been walking with Him for a while, that our idols are there. They are things that we love, that He says, give it up. Give it up. You remember the young man that came to Jesus, and he said, I know you're a teacher from God. And he told him, he said, go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Is it because He wants us to do the same? Not necessarily. If it's an idol in your life, then He says, give it up. Give your idols up. Whatever it is that you treasure above Christ, give it up. I remember the story, and you have heard the story of Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus that sat by the wayside, and he heard that Jesus was coming. And Jesus came, and he began to yell and to scream, you know, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And the disciples tried to quiet him. He said, be quiet, he's too busy. I've got news for you. He's never too busy. no matter how many people he has to attend to, you are number one. You are always number one. And so you remember the story, and Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, and this is, I'm reading from Mark the 10th chapter, verses 46 through 52. And they said, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling for you. Get up. And so, what is the first thing he did? He stood before he ever received his sight. What did he do? He threw his cloak aside. You see, he wore a beggar's robe. And he said, I'm no longer a beggar. I'm not that anymore. He had faith that Jesus was going to give him life. And so he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? You see, sometimes Jesus knows what we want, but he wants us to express it, to tell him. And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. He demonstrated his faith by throwing aside the beggar's garment. And then I think about the man that was in the tombs. The man, the demoniac of the Gadarenes, and Jesus came and healed him and cast the demons out of him. And when he was cutting himself, and he didn't live with his family because of his behavior was uncontrollable. But Jesus set him free, and then he decided, he said, I want to follow you wherever you go. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. What did Jesus tell him? He said, no. He said, I want you to go to your home. Go back to your family and live there and live showing my life through you. And so he did that. Jesus said, leave your situation, your circumstances, what has held you in bondage, leave it and go to your home. And only when we throw aside the rags of our past, the bondages, the idols, it is then that we see through our Father's eyes. It is then that we will speak like our Father speaks. It is then that we can hear what our Father hears, and we can love like our Father loves. You'll have to excuse me if I use too many examples, but I'm going to use another one about my husband. My husband was a man that fasted a lot when he was younger, especially. And he would fast, and I'd say, I don't see how in the world you can go that long, you know, fasting. But he would fast two weeks, 6 weeks, and I'm talking about only with water. I said, how do you do that? And he said, you don't understand. I have something to eat, or I have food that I cannot get any other way. I have things that come into my life that you don't see. And I was never one to fast more than 2 or 3 days, but he would fast quite a long time. And he said to me one day, he said, it is so amazing. When I fast and pray, he said, I see through different eyes. I do not see the outward appearance. I don't see the outward person. I see the inward person. I see the spirit. I remember when we came to this church, first time we came here, and I don't know if you call it trying out or we were ministering, and the Lord brought to me a person that was in under a lot of bondage and a lot of problems, and this woman was there, and I saw her in the spirit. I did not see anything except I saw her. It was like sewage that was running down all over her body and down on her. Later, as I ministered to her one time, she said, you have no idea what I've been through. You don't know what I've been through. And I said, I don't have to know because I do know. I know because the Lord showed me the sewage of your past. But you leave those things behind because Jesus has another plan for our lives. He has something. We leave the past, the rags of our past behind. And we know that he says in Luke, the 21st chapter, and some of this, he talks about signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and things that are going to be happening. And he said people will faint from terror people are almost fainting because of the things that are going on in the world today. And they're afraid. And I'm not saying we should not be cautious. I say, yes, we should be cautious, but not terrorized and filled with fear. But Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. The things that I say will absolutely come to pass. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, cares of this life, and that day when the Lord comes will come on you unexpectedly. People can get so carried away with the things that they have done ordinarily and things that try to block out what's happening that day will catch them unaware. And it'll be a snare, come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I threw that in there because we can let the cares and the rags of our past, the cares of life, weigh us down. And we can say, well, you know, we forget where we come. We need to forget where we've been. We need to remember what God has delivered us from. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, it talks about the whole armor of God. We cannot, in our own physical strength, in our own spiritual strength, do the things, lay aside things that God tells us to lay aside. But there is a way we can do it. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. You see, the devil is out to trick you, and he's out to trick me. He said, put on this armor, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and we get tangled up and think that's who we're wrestling against. It is not flesh and blood, but it is principalities, powers against rulers of this darkness, of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. He said, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. He didn't say the evil day will never come to you. It's going to come. It's going to come to every one of us. There are days of terrible temptation, trials, but the armor of God will prepare us to deal with it. He says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The Christian life is a battle against sin and Satan. Paul says, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. The truth is the belt that holds all the other pieces of the armor in place. The truth is what holds it all together. Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The breastplate covers the heart and shields it and the other vital organs. The breastplate protects you, those vital organs. Proverbs 4:23, the writer there says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Soldiers marching into battle must have comfortable shoes. When you don't have good shoes, you don't do too well as a soldier. As soldiers of Christ, we must put on gospel shoes that will allow us to march wherever the Lord leads. 1 John 2:6 says, he that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, even as Jesus walked. Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith, this faith is not something that comes from within us. It is God's gift to us. As we walk with him, faith grows and develops until it becomes a shield. But we walk in that faith little by little, and the faith grows, and it protects us and allows us to live a victorious life in Christ. At the end of Paul's life, his life of faith, he declared in 2 Timothy 4:7, when he was writing to Timothy, he said, "I have fought the good fight." He didn't say, "I've just coasted through." He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." The helmet of salvation is important. The helmet protects the head. Perhaps it's the most vital part of the body. It's the seat of thought and the mind. The sword of the Spirit is the only weapon of offense listed in the armor of God. The sword of the Spirit. All the other parts are defensive in nature. God's Word, the Bible, is described in Hebrews 4:12 as living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is the weapon that we must have. David wrote in Psalm 119:105, he said, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and light to my path." When you think about it, lamp for my feet, that shows you directly the next step. But the light for your path shows the long distance. You see it lit up. The sword of God's Word both protects us and destroys our enemy, the devil, and his temptations. Although prayer is not one of the pieces of the whole armor of God, Paul closes his list by saying, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Because we are in a battle, we're in a fight. And prayer, we must have that to support our acquiring this armor of God. All the pieces of the armor of God are found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. In Romans 13, verse 4, Paul said, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." When you give yourself to Jesus and put on His righteousness, you're clothed. You begin to put on the armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus, clothed in God's invincible armor, you'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You will begin to see like he sees, and you will hear what he hears. And you will feel what his heart feels. You will be a changed person. That is what we need to be that person that God wants us to be like our Father. If you are watching today and you say, "Well, I would like to be that person that is different. I want to lay aside the rags of my past, those things that have been hindrances. I want to be like Jesus." You can be. You can put on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and I encourage you to do that right now. If you have decided, you need to decide you need Jesus. This is in this day that we live today. If we've ever needed Him, we need Him today. If I've ever needed a walk with Him, I need it today. Because the world has messages that are false. They're not true. There are too many things that people are believing that are not true. But we can believe the Word of God. God's Word is truth. It will never fail. And so if you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you want Him to put on Jesus Christ, you can do that right now. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that it is through You that we can have eternal life and that we can have true life in You. I pray, O God, that we will not trade the things of this world, give up that eternal life in order to have some temporary satisfaction. I ask You to let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all sin. Take away every idol, every hindrance in our lives. Let us walk with You as You want us to walk. Let us see through Your eyes. Let us feel through Your heart. Let us hear the things that You hear. Let us be like You, we pray, Lord Jesus. Make us new in You. Give us a new identity in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I trust that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, and I pray that you will have a blessed week. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for watching us at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande. Okay, I don't know if there's anyone here today that you need to make a new commitment. If you've already committed your life to the Lord, we are going to, this morning, we've put it off for a while, but we're going to receive, let's see, we need Ramona in here.